Good morning and welcome to, or good afternoon and welcome to our Easter Sunday service here at IPC Zurich. Low in the grave he lay, but up from the grave he arose, yes, on this Easter day. And we thank God this morning for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we thank him also for the hope that this gives us. If you're visiting with us today, a very warm welcome to you. Here at IPC, we are a church of many people from many countries, and we celebrate many Easter traditions. But we're united in this. We gather as one people today to worship the one risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So please join me now in prayer as we prepare our hearts now for this Easter Sunday service. Let's pray. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill us this morning with faith and with hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to eternal life stands open to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Job chapter 19, verses 23 to 27, and can be found on page 523 of the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him, and with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Today's New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1000 in the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, believe it or not, reading this week Matthew's account that Johann just read of the resurrection of Jesus, this made me think once of a visit I made with two of our children to an amusement park in Chicago. I suppose a little explanation is now needed, yes? Or did you put the two together? Okay, a little slow, so I'll explain. Quite a few years ago, I took these, they were our oldest kids, to the Six Flags Great America Amusement Park. Tracy's been there. Anyone else? A few people? Heather, all right. We got a few. We're good. It was an amusement park, Six Flags Great America Amusement Park, guessing not so much different from the Europa Park in Germany. I think many of you have probably been there, right? Right. The name's a little different, obviously, but that's to be expected. Okay, so they were around 8 and 12 at the time, my kids, and they had received free or reduced fee entry into the park for doing some volunteering at school. So one day we decided to go out and see what that park was all about. Well, I'm not sure exactly how it turned out this way, but the first roller coaster that the kids went on was one called the Raging Bull. The Raging Bull. Tracy, you've been on the Raging Bull? She has, wow. Now understand this. When I say that this was the first roller coaster that my kids went on, not only do I mean that it was the first roller coaster that day that they went on, but this was the first roller coaster ever in their lives they had been on. All right? To the best of my knowledge, they had never, ever before been on a roller coaster. And they were starting out with this one, the Raging Bull. All right? So just so you understand the degree of parental, well, let's call it insensitivity or ineptitude here, let me just explain that this roller coaster, it starts with a 64-meter drop into a dark tunnel at a 65-degree angle and at a speed of 120 kilometers per hour. All right? And then from there, you continue at breakneck speeds for many more meters, twists and turns and curves and swerves and bends and bows and plunges and dives. Well, you get the idea. It was a very serious roller coaster indeed. A roller coaster, I would say, for hardened, experienced roller coaster enthusiasts. So probably not ideal for two young kids experiencing one for the first time. Well, in any case, it was interesting, to say the least, to see those kids' faces on the roller coaster. To be sure, there was plenty of fear on their faces. They were very scared. But, in my defense, I'll say this. There was also, at times, some happiness on their faces. At times, at least, they appeared to be having fun. I guess you could say they were petrified and thrilled all at the same time, scared and excited all at once, afraid yet filled with joy. Kind of like those three women at the tomb of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday morning, the ones that are pictured in the back of your bulletins. You can't really see what's happening on their faces in the picture. But after the angel at Jesus' tomb tells these women that Jesus is risen from the dead, we read of the reaction in the Gospel of Matthew. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Afraid, yet filled with joy, a lot like my kids on that roller coaster. And for good reason, these women were afraid yet filled with joy. What they were experiencing was both strange and wonderful, scary and fabulous, all at the same time. You can imagine their thoughts. An empty tomb. How can this be? What's happened to the body of our dear friend Jesus, this body we've come this morning to embalm? Who took him? Where is he? What does this mean? And then perhaps more thoughts. Risen from the dead? Alive? Really? We can see him again? We can touch him again? Eat with him again? Talk with him again? Be with him again? It's too good to be true. But if it is true, fabulous. So you can see how the sight of the empty tomb and the news of the risen Christ would have stirred mixed emotions in those women that morning. And you can see or understand how they would have been afraid, but yet at the same time, filled with joy. A resurrection from the dead would have been no less shocking or scary in that day than it would be in our day. And the chance to be in the company of someone you love shortly after they had definitely died, well, this would have been no less amazing, no less wonderful for them as it would be for us. Afraid yet filled with joy. A completely understandable reaction. Okay, so we'll get back to the women at the tomb in a second, but let's think about this now. In life, we might say this. In life, we might say that there's an immediate reaction to an event, and then there's a considered response to the event. As I understand it, and I don't understand much of this, but as I understand it, the immediate reaction, the flight or fight or freeze response, this happens in the part of the brain called the amygdala. Amygdala? How am I doing? Amygdala. All right. You know what it is. This immediate reaction, it's almost involuntary in nature. But then there's the considered response, right? A response based on weighing options and considering consequences and the like. And this happens in, this is an easy one, prefrontal cortex, right? This is where those decisions get made. All right, so let's say you're in the United States state of Alaska and you encounter a bear in the woods, but you encounter not just any bear, you encounter a Kodiak bear, the biggest species of bear there is, maybe alongside the polar bear, all right? So one's immediate reaction would be one of great fear, of course. And the considered response should be, well, actually, I forget. I know I learned this once, but I'm not sure if with a bear you're supposed to back away, run away, or play dead. Anyone know? Play dead? I hope that works, right? All right. But you understand the situation, right? There's the immediate reaction, and then there's the considered response. Or, say for a birthday boy or a birthday girl at a birthday party, there's this immediate excitement, right? Immediate happiness of that child when they receive the Peppa Pig Playhouse or the Baby Shark Bubble Blaster, right? But after this immediate reaction, then what should follow is a considered response. A thank you, a hug, some other expression of gratitude, right? So again, first the immediate reaction, then the considered response. So let's think about now those women at the tomb. So first there is this immediate reaction of joy mixed with fear. What now is the response, the considered response? Well, instead of telling you, I'm going to invite you to look at it. Look at that painting once again, the painting that is on the back of your bulletins. If you don't have one, look at the one maybe of your neighbor, share it with you. So right there, we're just going to focus on one response. Right there on the front is Mary Magdalene, the reputed former prostitute turned follower of Jesus. She's not labeled as Mary Magdalene, of course, but the artist has given us a few clues that it is she. First, this woman in the foreground with her back to us has long hair that's been taken up in a bun, right? Remember, Mary Magdalene is the one thought to be the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet with her long hair. The long hair of this woman is a clue that she is Mary Magdalene. And then there's the fact that she's wearing a green dress and a red robe. In history of art, it's not uncommon for Mary Magdalene to be pictured wearing this particular combination. If you came to the evening service tonight at 5, I have 3 or 4 more slides which show, in art history, Mary Magdalene wearing exactly the same colors. You know it's her when you see her in the green dress and the red robe. The green possibly stands for eternal life, the red for love or for sacrifice. But in any case, we've heard about the reaction, one of fear and joy. What is now her response to the sight of the empty tomb and the news of the risen Christ? What's her considered response here? Well, what does she look like? What does it look like she's doing in this painting? To me, it looks like she's turning to leave. Not turning tail, as we might say. Not fleeing the scene. No, just quickly and purposefully turning around to leave the empty tomb and go elsewhere. Which is pretty much how Matthew describes it in his gospel account, the one we just read. I'll read it again. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Ran to tell the disciples. Mary then is turning around in order to tell everyone the good news that Christ is risen. She's headed back to the disciples to get the word out that Jesus is no longer dead, but he's alive. To be sure, her feelings of fear are probably still pretty strong, but I'd like to think that by this time, her feelings of joy are even stronger. And in fact, I'd like to think it's the joy, the sheer joy of it all, that's compelling her to turn around here and tell others the good news that the angel has told her of the resurrection of Jesus. Her reaction of joy is causing her to respond with a message of hope. The hope that comes from the risen Christ. I wonder now if there's something in here for us. I wonder now if there's anything in this picture of Mary Magdalene and the other women at Jesus' tomb that can tell us something about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. If you were with us during the Lenten season, you might remember that we looked at various pictures, artwork in fact, of Jesus' journey to the cross. And you might remember that in order to better understand the kind of discipleship that Jesus is calling us to, we tried to paint ourselves into each picture. We tried to imagine not only who we might have been in these pictures, but who we should have been in these pictures. And so now today we have this picture before us. And I might suggest that if we were to paint ourselves into this picture, we would want to look a lot like Mary Magdalene. No, we don't need our hair pulled back in a bun. We don't need to be wearing a green dress or a red robe. But we do need to be people who, like Mary, love Jesus and ultimately react to his resurrection with a sense of joy and respond to his resurrection with a message of hope. We need, like Mary, to serve as his witnesses. Something Jesus would later command his disciples to do shortly before he ascended into heaven. Some of you know the verses from Acts 1:7-8. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." Yes, exactly like Mary Magdalene then. We've got good news to tell. We've got good news that can give others hope, real hope, as they navigate life on planet Earth, life that is not always so easy. First, we can give others the hope that death, as powerful as it is, doesn't have the last word. No, as we've seen in the events of Easter Sunday morning, it's the risen Christ who has the last word. And those who belong to him in faith, they will share in his overcoming of death. They too will live forever. For those who embrace Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for them, death will only be momentary, but life will be eternal. That's the first hope. Second, we can give others the hope that this world in its present state is not all there is, not all there ever will be. When Christ returns, the world as we know it will be restored. The creation will once again reflect the perfection of the Creator. It will be a place for Christ's followers in which there exists no more tears, no more pain, no more mourning, no more death. It will be a place of eternal peace and joy, a place of eternal health and wholeness, a place where all wrongs are righted, all injustices rectified, all relationships reconciled, all diseases cured, all losses restored, a place where we are removed from all threats, released from all compulsions, freed from all coercions. A place where life is finally as it should be, finally as it was created by God to be, not like it currently is. That's the second hope. And third hope we can give others is the hope of a better existence now, not just future stuff, now stuff. We can give others the hope of a better existence now, not better necessarily in terms of a more comfortable or more fun-filled existence, not better necessarily in terms of a more successful or prosperous existence, not better necessarily in terms of a more prestigious or accomplished existence, not better necessarily in terms of a physically healthier or emotionally happier existence, not better necessarily in terms of a stress-free, trouble-free, or even tragedy-free existence, rather better in terms of an existence in which we live as we were designed to live, as God created us to live. An existence where, for example, our meaning and our significance, our value and our worth are not tied to transient things, temporary things, things like our intelligence or our looks or our money or our educational affiliations or our professional achievements. No, our meaning and significance, our value and our worth are tied instead to our relationship to God, who he is and what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. And in such an existence then, we can experience lasting joy and peace, enduring contentment and gratitude. And these things not tied to our immediate situation, not tied to our immediate circumstances, but tied to our eternal state and our eternal status as those belonging to God through Jesus Christ, as being part of his family, now and forever. And such is our hope for a better existence now, a hope that we, like Mary, can share with others. Before I close, let me just say this. I'm guessing there are people here today for whom their immediate reaction to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of skepticism, perhaps. And their considered response is one of disbelief or even unbelief. If that's you, know this. First of all, know that you are welcome here at IPC to explore all of this. Yes, this is a place of faith, but it's also a place of inquiry, a place of searching, a place of seeking. And you're most welcome to do all the above here, as we all do so ourselves in varying degrees. Second, know that not all about the Christian faith has to be completely understood in order to be fully believed. Exhibit A, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? I, for example, often don't understand how God operates. Why in some situations he does what he does, and why in other situations he doesn't do what he doesn't do. But that said, I know more than enough about God to know that he exists, he loves me, and ultimately, he'll do right by me. He'll act for my ultimate good. No, my understanding of God will never be complete, but this doesn't mean I can't fully believe in him. Third, finally, I could go on, but I'll limit to three today. Know that no two faith journeys look the same, exactly the same. Some people who have come to faith have been hearing about Jesus Christ their whole life. For others, it's all pretty new. Some people who come to faith do so on the occasion of a momentous one-time event in their lives. For others, they come to faith through a long process of questioning and inquiring and discernment and deliberation. No two journeys of faith look exactly the same, but one thing in these journeys is the same. It is the same God who in his love draws us to him in faith through his son, Jesus Christ. Today we've encountered the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, and my prayer is that we would all come to react to this empty tomb with joy. My prayer is too is that leaving this place, we, like Mary, would share our message of hope, the hope that is Christ risen indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, on this Easter Sunday morning, we ask that you give us three things. Give us faith, and give us hope, and give us love. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in prayer. God, our Father, on this morning in which we once again celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are thankful and thankful indeed that you enabled and empowered him to conquer the grave. His whole life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, it was your plan and your power. The whole thing, from start to finish. And we're glad that you love this world enough to make it happen. Enough to make it happen for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear now our prayer. God, our Father, this morning we thank you for how you have provided for us this week. When it comes to what we have, we're quick to take credit and slow to give thanks, but this morning we acknowledge your role in sustaining us, your role in supporting us, your role in giving us what we need, not only to survive, but for many of us to live comfortably and quite comfortably indeed. Give us grateful hearts for all that we have. Give us generous hearts with all that we have. Lord, in your mercy, hear now our prayer. God, our Father, we pray for the needs of our world, needs of this country. We pray for the leaders of the nations and for all those who influence matters of peace and justice. May these leaders promote and protect what you value and not what this world so often values. We pray especially this morning for those countries in which war is not a far-off spectacle, but a close-up reality, a deadly, destructive, close-up reality. We remember those in Iran, Lebanon, Israel, and the Gulf states. We remember those in Ukraine, Myanmar, Sudan, Yemen, and so many other places where violence rages. Grant protection to them and give them peace. And Lord, in your mercy, hear now our prayer. God, our Father, we pray now for the needs of those present in this place. Some of us need relief from pain. Some of us need healing from disease. Some of us need wisdom as we face the uncertainties of old age. Some of us need wisdom as we face the uncertainties of youth and emerging adulthood. Some of us need comfort as we continue to grieve the death of a loved one. Someone, in fact, with whom we shared many Easter Sundays. Some of us need freedom from addiction. Some of us need deliverance from compulsions. Some of us need some peace in our minds. Some of us need some joy in our hearts. Some of us need encouragement in the face of failure. Some of us need hope in time of despair. Some of us need homes that are free from conflict. Some of us need relationships that don't cause us pain. Some of us need to grant forgiveness. Some of us need to receive forgiveness. Some of us simply need to feel loved, feel cherished, feel valued, feel treasured. Give us all what we need, God our Father, in mind, body, and soul. Make us new creations, witnessing to the new life given through our risen Lord. And in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our Father, we ask now for your blessing on your church throughout the world and all your people, wherever they might be. May we as the body of Christ be the instruments of grace that he was in this world. And may we, like him, bring hope to a world desperately in need of it. God, our Father, hear our prayers this morning for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. Go from here today to witness to the risen Christ. Go to witness to the hope that you have through him. A hope for now and a hope for eternity. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.